Our first scripture lesson is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. If the Presbyterian Church USA were to have a patron saint, and let me quickly add, we don't have patron saints. That was one of the things that was settled about 500 years ago in the Protestant Reformation. But if we were to have a patron saint, let me suggest Saint Andrew. Not because I share the name, but because Saint Andrew is the patron saint of Scotland. And without Scotland, there would probably not be a Presbyterian Church USA. Today, on Presbyterian Heritage Sunday, we commemorate our Scottish heritage with a relatively young ritual that was created only in 1941 by a Presbyterian pastor of Scottish nationality, the famous Peter Marshall, who created the ritual of the Kirken of the Tartans. And so we come today on Presbyterian Heritage Sunday to practice this ritual that celebrates our Scottish heritage. But let us begin with the Apostle Andrew. According to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, Andrew was one of the first disciples, along with his brother Simon, called by Jesus. But in the Gospel of John, he was baptized by John the Baptist and was the first disciple called by Jesus in the Gospel of John. In that story, Andrew even goes and tells Simon about Jesus and is the first to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. In Greek Orthodox tradition, Andrew is known as the Protokletos, which means the first called. He's mentioned only 12 times in the gospel stories, some of which are with Peter and John and James in private, intimate times with Jesus. In the Gospels, we discover that Andrew is a problem solver. Why, he was the disciple who brings the boy with the loaves and fishes to Jesus to feed 5,000 people while all the others are walking around saying, what do we do? What do we do? Andrew, like most of the disciples, was an evangelist. But we see a specific instance in the Gospels where Philip brings a Greek seeker of Jesus to Andrew, and Andrew takes this Greek to Jesus. And in the process, Jesus sees this as a sign as a vision of the kingdom spreading beyond the Jewish people. And it is Andrew who brings this Greek seeker to Jesus. Like most of the disciples, he fades into obscurity for several hundred years. But legends and traditions and letters of early church leaders say he took the story of Jesus into Europe in areas around the Black Sea. That should be familiar to us today. He took the gospel message into what is now known as Ukraine. Into Europe, he took the message. And he, like so many followers of Jesus, was eventually executed by the Romans in the Greek city of Patras in 60 of the Common Era. But that wasn't the end. Legends have his bones or relics appearing for the next 500 years or so all over the Mediterranean rim and Europe. Regulus, or Saint Rule, a monk in Patras, was said to have had a dream in which an angel advised him to take Andrew's relics, quote unquote, to the ends of the earth for protection. Wherever he was shipwrecked, he was to build a shrine for them. So sometime in the 5th century, or maybe the 6th, nobody really knows. Sometime Saint Rule sailed to the west, taking with him a bag full of relics. And sure enough, he was shipwrecked. Near where the city of St. Andrew on the eastern coast of Scotland is today. And in his bag of St. Andrew's relics, I discovered this in information about Andrew. In this bag, St. Rule brought a kneecap, an upper arm bone, three fingers, and a tooth. And I heard the rumor that there was also a strange weapon of sorts in that bag that was later confirmed as a 7-iron. That's a joke. In 1320, and in a close contest with St. Columba, who had brought the gospel message to the western shore of Scotland, in a close contest, St. Andrew was named the patron saint of Scotland. Now, I've also discovered that he was not just the patron saint of Scotland. He was the patron saint of Greece, of Russia, of the Ukraine, of Italy's Amalfi Coast, of Barbados, as well as several other countries. Saint Andrew is also the patron saint of the Order of the Thistle, one of the highest ranks of chivalry in the world. Second only to the Order of the Garter. He's also known as the patron saint of singers, spinsters, maidens, fishmongers, fishermen, women wanting to be mothers, gout, sore throats, and of course golf, and whiskey. Now, I ask, how could he not be Presbyterian? But of course, it was the migration of the Scottish by way of Ireland, hence the name Scots-Irish, that brought Presbyterianism to the New World. The Scots-Irish were a proud, deeply imaginatively spiritual, and rather fierce people, especially the Highlanders. They were the ones who settled the frontiers of the colonies, which at the time were the western boundaries of the Allegheny and Appalachian Mountains. There was a gradual but great migration of the Scotch-Irish people that flowed from these mountains down from western Pennsylvania through the Shenandoah Valley and on into the Piedmont of the Carolinas. This is why even today, from Pittsburgh to Charlotte, you can hardly turn around without seeing a Presbyterian church. Presbyterians also came from the South. James Oglethorpe, who led the conquest of present-day Georgia and founded the city of Savannah in 1733, brought with him a Scottish Highland regiment to fight the Spanish in Florida. Again, a frontier. As an aside, the Highland regiment was probably the equivalent of our modern day Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and Marine Raiders all rolled into one. They were a force to be reckoned with. And who knows, the descendants of these soldiers may have been part of the oldest Presbyterian church in Florida, which was founded in St. Augustine in 1824. As an aside, my first call was in a small church in Middle Georgia, founded in 1821. So the Presbyterians were already in the South and well organized. The history of the Scots-Irish and the Presbyterian Church are interconnected and interwoven, and like any history, it is bittersweet. Some of the bitterness is that fierce pride. Fierce pride that fueled defense of slavery in the South that resulted in the massive tragedy of the Civil War, which still resonates in our country today. The infamous Confederate battle flag contains a saltire, which is commonly known as the St. Andrew's Cross, that adorns the Scottish national flag. And there it was in honor of the cross on which tradition says St. Andrew died. The Scots-Irish were also on the front lines of frontiers where native peoples were decimated. There is much of our Scottish heritage of which to repent. However, we need and we can embrace the sweetness of this bitterness. We need to embrace the creativity, the imagination, the determination, and the exploration of our Scottish heritage. We need to continually and creatively imagine and reimagine our faith in light of both our history, the present day, and the future. We need to discover the wonder of Celtic imagination that includes a comprehensive spirituality of all creation. a comprehensive spirituality that we find in our own scriptures that we heard expressed in our psalm this morning. I hope you heard it. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. We inherit a spirituality that celebrates the presence of God, as Jeff shared with our children this morning, in all creation. We need determination to live in ways that respect and protect creation, which includes the earth, all creatures, and especially humanity. Such determination was demonstrated just yesterday on beaches around the world. On beaches around the world, groups gathered in the ritual known as hands across the sand to protest against drilling in our oceans for oil. There was one on Indian Rocks Beach where people gathered determined to prevent offshore drilling in our oceans. We need determination, a determination of our Scots-Irish ancestors. We need a spirit of creative exploration that lives in the frontiers of life. A creative exploration that pushes boundaries of religious orthodoxy, that struggles with Scripture to find its relativity in our lives, that challenges outdated and tired ecclesiastic structure and systems. We need the creative, explorative spirit of our Celtic ancestors. We need the spirit of St. Andrew, found in our Scottish heritage. In the two short verses this morning that we heard from the calling story of Andrew, we heard the beginning of Andrew's story as he was called to follow Jesus and eventually invite others to do the same through and beyond his physical life. And I would suggest that in many ways this story continues in us, in our kneecaps, our upper arm bones, our fingers, our teeth, in our passion, in our fierceness, and in our imagination. We are the living relics of St. Andrew. The first disciple of Jesus, but definitely never the last. Amen. Seated. And we ask that you remain seated throughout the postlude. Our charge this morning originates with a great American novelist. And this may be perhaps one of the most quoted lines from a vast canon of work, the work of William Faulkner. In his novel and play, sort of a combination of the two, A Requiem for a Nun, one of the characters says, "The past is never dead. It's not even past. And as we embody the spirit of St. Andrew that comes to us through our Scottish heritage, let us remember that the past lives in us in order to take us into the future. We never sit still. We are always on the frontier, imaginatively and creatively moving toward the kingdom of God. Amen.